Chapter 17, The War with Amalek. We are still following the children of Israel on their wilderness journeys as we try to bring before you the Bible miracles. Although they murmured so much against the God of Israel and his servant Moses, yet they were supplied with water from the rock to quench their thirst. How refreshed and strengthened they would feel. And no doubt the godly among them were thankful to the Lord, as well as sorry in that they should so have disbelieved him. We shall see, too, that they needed to be refreshed, not only for their journey, but because they began to find there were enemies in the way. They were soon attacked by the Amalekites, and we shall now see how they fared in the battle. This Amalek, who now fought against them, was one of the dukes of Edom, or the sons of Esau, and he himself was a grandson of Esau. So you will see that the old hatred of Esau against Jacob or Israel is now being shown in their children. Jacob's deceitful dealing against his brother and their blind father is still bearing sad fruit. Amalek's attack, too, was very cowardly, for we find that he smote the Israelites from behind, where the people were more feeble and faint and weary. But what does Moses do? He tells his servant Joshua to choose out men to fight against Amalek, while he himself would stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. So Joshua fought with Amalek, and Moses stood on the hill holding the rod, and Aaron and Hur went up with him. Here it is that we shall see the miracle. For when Moses held up the rod in his hand, Israel had the victory over Amalek. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Was not that a wonderful miracle? That as long as Moses held up his hand, Israel was successful? But it was a long time for Moses to hold up his hands, and they became so heavy that he let them fall, and then Israel began to lose the battle. What then will they do to prevent this? Well, Aaron and Hur came to the help of Moses. They sat him on a stone and stood one at each side, holding up his hands, so that they were steady until the going down of the sun. In this way, Moses was able to hold up the rod of God until darkness came, and Amalek and his people were defeated. How thankful the people must have been! For it is evident that Amalek was very strong and would have gained the day if it was not for the miracle that God wrought for Israel. This was their first battle, and how sad it would have been for them if their enemies and the Lord's enemies had prevailed. Moses, too, was thankful for the victory, and he gave the honor of it to the Lord. He built an altar, which implies he offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, and he called the name of the altar Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord my banner. So he gave the glory of this miracle to the God of Israel, and the Lord gave his oath that he would have war with Amalek throughout their generations. Now there is a deep meaning under all this. What did it represent? That when Moses held up his hands, Israel was successful. We believe it shows that prayer is one of the weapons which the Lord's people have to use against the enemies of their souls. And when they become slack in prayer, their enemies prevail. Sin and Satan fight against them and must be their ruin if God did not help them in answer to their prayers. One of our hymns puts this very nicely. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. While Moses stood with arms spread wide, success was found on Israel's side. But when through weariness they failed, that moment Amalek prevailed. Then the fact that Aaron and Hur helped Moses by holding up his hands shows us that a church or congregation of people, and especially the deacons, should seek to be a help to their minister by holding up his hands with their prayers. Now you can read about this miracle in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, and about Amalek's cowardice in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25. Then you can turn to the hymn we have quoted, which is number 394 in Gadsby's selection.